Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll check out my site at your convenience and even maybe a little at your inconvenience. I think it'll be worth your while. Even if you don't have quite enough time, go there anyway. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And don't forget to check out all my Brain Trust members and all the things that they've done for us, all their articles and the archives that they have for us. And one of the best ways to get to that is to go to the schedule. Look over there on the left side of the site, and you'll see our schedule for the week. And when you open that page up, that'll show you all the different people who are going to be on the show this week, including links to their position in our website, especially if they've been with us before. We know about them already. And in that link, you can also find articles that they've written. You can find archives that they've of interviews that we've conducted with them in the past. And I'm clicking on right now Leslie Kossoff's archives. And Leslie, as you know, is our guest this half hour. And I don't know, let's see, page after page after page after page. It just goes on and on and on of the archives of shows that she's done with us in the past. She's the author of Managing for Quality. She's the author of Executive Thinking. She is the lady who helps us make sure that we have put our executive hat on and that we're managing our businesses to the maximum opportunity to be successful. She's our really good friend. Leslie Kossoff, welcome back.
It's a pleasure. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's good to have you back, as always.
Truly, my pleasure.
Okay, Leslie, help us put our executive hat on. We got to get our executive thinking hat on and manage for quality. How about that for getting both titles in one sentence? What do we need to do?
The first thing, you know, I love New Year's. You know, I have to be really honest about that. I love New Year's because it gives everybody an excuse to take a new look at their organization. They should actually be doing it all year long, but New Year, especially if you're working with a calendar year, fiscal calendar, is a wonderful time to say, okay, let's look and see what else and what more. And one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about in the lead up to this year is that quality tends to be viewed as a means of correcting problems rather than opening up whole new vistas. And the best executives really do understand that quality is not just fixing what we're not doing so well, but really, first and foremost, stepping back and saying, what is it that we do really wonderfully? What is it that defines our company beyond our competition, beyond anybody, that makes us the go-to company for the products or services that we provide?
Differentiation.
Absolutely.
How are we different, and what makes that pretty special?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so difficult, especially if you're a small business owner, and you and I have talked about this so much over the years now. It's so hard as a small business owner. You're so involved in so many day-to-day aspects of what's going on in your business that one of the hardest challenges is taking that 30,000-foot view and really stepping back and saying, what makes us the best of the best? And that's an absolutely crucial position that the small business owner must take in order to maintain the market share.
Let me give you an excellent reason, folks, why what Leslie's saying is essential. Leslie, I fear that there are people out there, and in fact, I don't fear this. I know this is happening. There are people out there who are doing things like what you're talking about. They're absolutely doing something incredibly innovative. They're doing something that differentiates themselves. They're doing something that actually allows their small business brand to dominate, as Peter Meyer says, in their market. But if they aren't really aware of it, they don't really realize the power of it, they actually might quit doing it.
Yes.
And I've seen that happen. I mean, And I've actually gone in, when I was a consultant, I'd go in and I'd say, well, what about this? This is really smart. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, no, this is, I've never seen anybody else do this. Why aren't you still doing this? Well, would you stop doing it?
A not uncommon occurrence.
It happens all the time. And I like what you're saying. You're saying, don't try to find what you're doing wrong. First, try to find out what you're doing right.
Absolutely, because it's actually easier to replicate success than it is to go back and make people change by saying that what they're doing is bad. Even if you never use the word bad or wrong, what'll happen is people will get defensive if they think that they're having to improve because something's wrong rather than because they're looking towards something better.
And there's one more thing. Finding the good stuff is more fun.
You bet.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break with our good friend Leslie Kossoff. We got more to come after these messages. It's 20 Tales. Stay with us.
And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young.
Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me.
We're back at 17 till.
Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you
Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Leslie Kossoff is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host, but you knew that, didn't you? Leslie is the author of Executive Thinking. She's also the author of Managing for Quality. One of the things that I'm still green with envy about is that she actually knew Edwards Deming, who is the grandfather of, he was too old to be the father of quality. I guess at one time he was the father, but he became the grandfather of the quality movement, the global quality movement, and she actually worked for him. And I'm so glad, Leslie, I got to meet you, because I got to touch you, somebody who actually met him and worked with him.
Well, he was a joy. He was a wonderful, wonderful man, and he had such a grand vision for what quality could mean. And, you know, if you go back to his first book, very specifically about this area, it was called Quality, Productivity, and Competitive Position.
What year did he write that?
Oh, my goodness, that one
30s
was,
or 40s?
Oh, no. He was writing statistics books much earlier.
I knew he was, because, see, he got his start working for the government, didn't he?
Absolutely. He had a really fascinating, varied career, and when he was working in quality, it was with the Bell Labs, and that was
right.
In the 1930s. But then he started working with the defense industry because mm-hmm. of the different statistical techniques mm-hmm. that had been developed. And
did he ever win a Nobel Prize?
He didn't win a Nobel Prize.
He should have, shouldn't he?
Yeah, he should have.
He really should have. I mean, even posthumously, they could do that now because of, I mean, some of the stuff he came up with were breakthrough things, weren't they?
And they still are.
Yeah.
And they're still only.
Isn't that the key to that kind of an award? Is it still contributing to people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I think somebody missed the boat there. What did he teach you about? I know what he taught you about quality, managing for quality. What did he teach you about being an executive?
What I learned from him in that regard, more than anything else, was that it is absolutely the executive's job to ensure that quality can and will exist in the organization. It's not left to the line worker. You cannot leave it to your employees to build quality, and it's because the executive owns the organization
mm-hmm.
and owns the systems of the organization. And he wasn't talking about technological systems. He was talking about all of the means and mechanisms and philosophies that make the organization run. What is it that you're going to focus on? Where are you going to put your attention? What kind of relationships do you want to have with your customers and your suppliers? What can you learn from everything and everyone around you? And how do you take the best of the best of the best and constantly be bringing that into your organization and accessing that from within your organization because it exists within as well?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all to do with how the executive brings that orientation to the organization and the extent to which the executive brings it that's going to determine whether that company is going to have longevity, is going to have the success that it can have, but will it have?
And folks, everything that Leslie just said applies to the 500 employee small business and the no employee small business.
Absolutely.
Every single thing she said has nothing to do with size. It has to do with whether you're in business or not.
Absolutely. And for small business owners, it's all the more immediate. Deming was working. His clients were Ford and General Motors. I mean, you know,
And Toyota. He was in Japan, though, right?
He was in Japan.
Before he came here.
Well, actually not. He had done here for the defense industry.
Right, but I mean in terms of the automobile industry.
Oh, absolutely,
he
yes.
He was in Japan first, because as I remember, the U.S. basically disregarded his teachings.
Right. Once the war was over, we basically blew off everything
that we
learned from him. And the Japanese, when he was over in Japan, it was as part of MacArthur's team to do a census. That was one of the jobs he did for the government here.
Right.
So they brought him over, and when he was over there, he was approached by the Union of Japanese Scientists and Engineers. This is actually very much to your point, Jim, because he was approached by the scientists and engineers to teach them what he had taught to the Americans, and he said no, that unless your executives are willing to not only learn but commit to what it is that I'm bringing, I will not teach the scientists and engineers, because he had learned his lesson, because in America, it was mostly at the mid-level that his work had taken place during the war years, and he learned his lesson that it is only when those most senior people or that most senior person actually commits that anything happens. And then ultimately it was Donald Peterson, who was the then CEO of Ford, who brought Deming over when he realized.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if there's one person that took made in Japan from meaning cheap and low quality to meaning expensive and high quality, would you say it would be Deming's?
It was, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If folks, you know about that transition from the 60s to the 70s when they went from one extreme to the other, they can thank Deming's for that, Edwards Deming's for that. And the thing about it, you know, I read that about him early on when I was a consultant, and I wasn't a quality expert, but I helped small businesses start the quality process. And whenever the owner would ask me, what do you think about this? What do you think I ought to do? I said, well, you shouldn't spend a nickel if you, the owner, are not totally 125% committed to doing it.
Absolutely.
Because if you're not, it won't work. And I remember reading that about what him saying that before I started doing the quality work. Stand by. Quick break. 10 till right back with Leslie Kossoff.
Here inside cannot be denied.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Leslie Kossoff is our guest. Her last name is spelled with two S's and two F's and two O's, I might say, only one K. And I think you can get the rest of it from that. Leslie, give us your website, please.
It's, as you've been saying, www.kossoff.com.
All right.
And just, you know, put in the right order, the KOSSOFF.
See, I knew you couldn't stand it. I knew you'd have to spell it out.
I do, yes. And people can go there and get more information and also sign up for my monthly executive advisory.
Right. And don't forget to do that, folks. Make sure you check that out, because whatever Leslie does is top shelf.
Thanks.
Leslie, help us, in the time remaining, help us focus what we've been talking about on some actions, some steps that we can take.
Well, the first thing that you need to do is take a look, as we were saying, at that question of really internally and externally, where do we shine? Where are we the best? And where is it that we're just doing these amazing things that we're really proud of? And, you know, as you mentioned, Jim, even if you don't really see a reason for why you might continue doing them, take a look at the fact that you're doing them, just because mm-hmm. the fact that you're that good at them has a real meaning for the organization and for your future. And then once you've identified where you shine, then the next question really is, what are we doing differently in those products or services or parts of the organization that is causing us to shine? Because when all is said and done, success is behavioral. And it's a matter of identifying what are those organizational behaviors that you're doing that are leading to success. And what you want to do is constantly be working from a success perspective, so you're always building on success and building more success.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've gotten to that point, then the next question really is, how do we replicate those behaviors?
Right.
You know, and that's a wonderful point in this process.
When we get to that point where we see something that we like, and maybe we don't quite understand why it's not doing better. You know, you said find the thing that we're doing really well. But what if there's something that we're that we think we really instinctively, we in our gut, we believe ought to be working, but it's not quite working. You know, I think about Napoleon Hill's analogy about moving over 3 feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story about the gold miner that drilled and drilled and drilled and never found anything, and somebody else came in behind him and took and bought his claim and moved over 3 feet and started drilling and found the gold.
Yes, absolutely.
So look around you and see if maybe what you're doing is your vision is not broad enough. Maybe you should need look over 3 feet.
Absolutely. And again, when you're looking at the where you do what you do so well, then you take that thinking and you apply it to that, you know, again, whatever it is that's in your gut that you know is the right thing, but you can't quite nail it, and then you start applying the much broader, how are we succeeding, why are we succeeding, what more can we do thinking to that thing that's in your gut. And, you know, the hardest thing for anyone, but particularly, again, for small business owners, is taking that step backwards, because in a case like what you're describing, too often, because you get so focused and so blinded by that one particular direction, unless and until you take that step back and have just that little bit more perspective, mm-hmm. you can't nail it. It's there. It can be done. Just take the step back. Take the objective view. Ask people in your organization.
That's the key.
Yeah.
The ask. Because, folks, if you're stuck and you can't figure out why you're not stuck, it's not because it's not there. It's because you can't see it.
Yes.
And how many times, you know, even when I was a consultant, Leslie, I would help other people see their stuff, but I couldn't see my own stuff.
Sure. That's always the
case. We have to have other people help us, don't they?
Absolutely. It's a collaborative process, and that's when it works. And the willingness of the small business owner to ask and to take in that information is one of the most powerful messages that he or she can send to all of the people inside of their organization, you know, as well as to customers and
mm-hmm.
suppliers. It's not just your employees that
yep.
you want to ask. You want information, and you need to take it in the spirit that it's given, which is in the spirit of helping.
Absolutely.
And then you apply your knowledge, their knowledge. It works. It's as I said, you gain all the more from all the pieces.
Leslie, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always, and we'll see you next time.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, and Happy New Year to all your listeners.
Leslie Kossoff, ladies and gentlemen. That's Kossoff.com. Don't forget to check out our website. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.